Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
On the first, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Miss Barbara, Sister Barbara and Carol Rhodes used to sing that song at camp meeting. Man, they'd get on down. And when he played it, it wasn't like a normal playing, brother. He would like kind of like a boogie-woogie rock on the. He did. That's just the way he played. Man, he'd be rocking that thing back and forth, and he'd be going at it. They get to that part and said, "I am so wondrous." She goes, "Saved from sin." You know, she wanted everybody to know she was saved from sin. Amen. Aren't you glad that we're saved from sin? Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to ask Leanne to come to the piano, if she would. I had this song on my mind for several days, and we got into choir practice and got down to our prayer request time. Walked over and asked Leanne if she had ever done this. It's an old song. It's one that we used to do here years ago. But I want you to listen close to the words. There's all kinds of songs about how the Lord leads us and how He guides us. And there's but the song "The Unseen Hand" is one that probably does more for me than any other of those types of songs. Because there's so many times during our day, during our week, that He's just gently nudging us and molding us and shaping us and moving us through, and we don't even realize that it's going on. If we'll just surrender, if we'll just let loose of everything, and let that unseen hand have His will and way in our lives. Listen as she sings this song. Still guided by the unseen hand. How many of you believe you've been led this week by that unseen hand? I saw a sign on a church not too long ago that said, "No perfect people allowed." think any of us in here claim or feel like we've hit perfect, have we? The Lord's been gracious and he's been good to all of us. If we all be honest, there's been times in our lives when we've probably been broken in pieces and just a puddle on the ground. And the Lord come along and put all those pieces back together and make something out of us and dust us off and use us again another day. Just when we thought the end, how many of you have ever thought, the Lord's done with me, he'll never use me again, he'll never be able to bless me, I've gone too far, I've done too much, look at that, look, I've just done too much, there's no way the Lord can ever use me again. We have all been there. We have all been there. William, I want you to come around and sing this song. The chorus of this song, if I can pull it up, says you're never too wounded, never too far gone. Here you'll find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. That's some strong words. Sometimes we get some folks come in our doors and don't know their situation. And everything in the world may be crumbling down around them. But we're never too broken. Never gone too far, have we, Tanya? And never got too far away to belong. BJ, we ain't never gone too far to belong, have we, brother? Kathy, we ain't never got out there too far to belong, have we? He's good tonight, folks. He's better than we deserve.
The door is open, come on in as you are. All you need to bring is what remains of your heart. I see the years of fear and pain on your face, but take a step and enter in. You are safe in this place. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too wounded and never too far gone. It's here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. Come find the perfect love that no one deserves. A peace so sweet it can't be put into words. And grace that's greater than the darkest of sin. Taste and see and take his hand. Let the healing begin. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too wounded and never too far gone. It's here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. We too are wounded and defeated, and we know how you feel. But by the wounds of my Redeemer, we believe we are. are healed. You're never too broken to belong, and you're never too wounded, and you're never too far gone. It's here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too broken to belong. The door is open, come on in as you are.
Sometimes we're broken imperfections are on the inside. Nobody sees them. We put on a good front. I want Brother Stephen. I'm gonna put him on the spot. I want him to give just a little testimony. If you've talked to Stephen, you've noticed his eye. And I'm not trying to point anything out, but we're talking about our brokenness and our imperfections, but I want you to hear what he said to the men about that when he met with us. And I just want him to give a...
So some of you may not know my testimony, and I'd be happy to share it with you for a couple of minutes. As David said, every time that if you look at me, you'll notice that my left eye looks a little bit different than my right eye. And I'll tell you a little bit of my story behind that. I was born with a condition in my left eye called third nerve palsy. And basically all that means is that there was a nerve in my left eye that was paralyzed from the time I was born. And my parents tell me this story because obviously I was too young to remember it. But for the longest time, the fact that my left eye is different than my right eye is really hard for me to grasp. Whenever somebody looked at me, what I thought they always saw was the difference in my two eyes. That's all that I thought that anybody could ever see in me. From the time I started ministry, before ministry, when I was in high school, it didn't matter. That's what I thought. I thought that, man, there's something different about me. There's something broken about me, and that's all anybody can ever see. Well, I got to tell you the story now that we're going down this road. So when I was young, I had several surgeries on my eye, and my parents had the best doctor in the world. He was a Jew, he wasn't a Christian, but he was the best doctor. And so I had several surgeries on my eye, and the doctor had said to my parents when I was born, they said, nobody that we've ever known that has this condition has sight in that eye. We just want you to know that. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, I have perfect vision in my left eye. I wear a contact in my right eye, but I don't wear one in my left eye, which is kind of funny. But we know that God did that. It was incredible. So then I was supposed to have one final surgery that was supposed to microscopically move my eye into the eye socket so it could develop and grow the way it was supposed to. And the doctor said this is a pretty intensive surgery for a little baby, so he took measurements on a Friday, and I think the surgery was supposed to be on a Saturday morning. And so we went in the next day to have the surgery, and the doctor said, I'm going to take another set of measurements to make sure we do this correctly. And so he did, and my eye had moved on its own, Dave, overnight. I never had the surgery. And to this day, I've never had that surgery. My eye, I see perfectly out of it, like I said. So going back to what we were just talking about, yeah, I remember that there were times when I would go. I remember as a little boy, I'd be with my parents in a store. Mainly, I remember Sam's Club, free food on Saturdays. But this stuck out to me for some reason. where I had people that, you know, you go in to get your little bite of food this big, and I would walk up and I'd say, you know, can I have whatever it might be, a cheese quesadilla or whatever, and they'd look at me, and before they'd hand me the food, they'd say, what's wrong with your eye? You know, what's wrong with, and I always thought that was the thing that glared at people whenever they first saw me, but what I realized is it's just simply a part of my testimony. And from that day forward, I tell you, when I answered the call to go into ministry, I promised the Lord that whenever I shared my testimony, I would include that as a part of it, that I would take the step beyond my brokenness, and that I would realize that this is a miracle in my life, and I would include it as a part of my testimony. And so with every student ministry and every congregation I've ever led, I've always shared that as a part of my testimony, because it's something that God did in my life, something that the world could have very easily beat me down about, but God is greater, and it's a miracle.
We all have something. Stephen talked about a physical that people saw. He went to doctors for that people could see it. But aren't you glad? We talked about Dr. Jesus, but really, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the Lord can't, I mean, that people can't see our imperfections? Can't see what we were. They don't see our dirty, rotten past. What we came from. And the Lord sees through the blood. That clean perfection that only He could supply. I appreciate him. I'd been wanting him to tell that since that night he did, and it just seemed like it fit tonight, because I know some of you are here and you're going through situations, you're facing stuff that the Lord could take and turn and make into a blessing, make you have a, turn your testimony into something that who knows what it might do. William, will you sing that song just one more time? And Kim, will you put that, those words, I want them to, as he's singing, put those words on this screen right here. I want them to be able to see the words as he sings it.
Real quickly before he sings. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh.
The door is open, come on in as you are. All you need to bring is what remains of your heart. I see the years of fear and pain on your face, but take a step and enter in. You are safe in this place. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too wounded, never too far gone. Here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. Come find the perfect love that no one deserves. A peace so sweet it can't be put into words. A grace that's greater than the darkness of sin. Taste and see and take his hand. Let the healing begin. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too wounded, never too far gone. Here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. We too are wounded and we're defeated, so you know how we feel. But by the wounds of our Redeemer, we believe that we are healed. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too wounded, never too far gone. Here you'll find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too broken to belong. The door is open. Come on in as you are.
So if you feel you can't go on,
through. He's never failed one yet, and he won't start with you. You can go and ask Abraham, walking Isaac up that lonely hill, and go and ask the widow about her time. The empty barrel was filled. Go and ask Peter down in the jail the night the church of God prayed through. They'd all say he's never failed one yet. He won't start with you. So through the valley, deep or wide, or on the mountain, peak so high, it's when you're happy, it's when you're sad, 'cause he's the best friend you've ever had. So when you feel you can't go on, God will be there to see you through. He's never failed one yet. He won't start with you. I'm so glad my God has never, never failed one yet. He won't start with you.
Hope y'all don't mind if we shift gears for a minute. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been shown graciousness by God, and the apostle here is saying, peace, a peace that passeth all understanding, that comes from the Godhead. God the Father and God the Son are on the job. That's what it says. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I read that just a minute ago, and this is what came to my mind. Sometimes we have to make a conscious decision in our lives. And no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, we can make a decision to allow God to comfort us. See, the comfort's there. The peace that passeth all understanding, it's in motion. It's more real than this pulpit. And all we have to do is make a decision whether or not we're just going to embrace it. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Did you hear that? He comforts us not in just tribulation number 1, 3, 7, 12, 24, and 38, but everything. from number one right to the very end. Once again, it's there. It's more real than this pulpit. We just, as God's child, as His children, make a conscious decision to receive it. I like this, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Can I explain this just for a minute and just bring it down to where I can get something from it? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them, that we can be a help to others, to undergird and strength others, to be a blessing to the brethren. Hey, when they're down on their luck, we pray for them. When they're not just down, but they're on their knees in pain, that we can help lift them up. I'm telling you, God is the God of comfort, and He places each and every one of us through these many times horrific situations because He knows that there's a brother and sister or down the road that's going to cross paths with you, and He's preparing your heart to be a comfort and a blessing to them. Years ago, my wife, she still has it now, but she fought this thing pretty severely, a vertigo. Some of you must have experienced it because I just heard you grunt. And I want to say to you that I was not hostile toward my wife because she had vertigo, but I will say I was not sympathetic. I didn't get it, Brother Dave. And one day about 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, I woke up. And I woke up, ladies and gentlemen, and that room was spinning around. And God is my witness, I was hanging on to the edge of the bed. And I had to get up and go somewhere. You know, when you're going to get one. And I had to crawl to the bathroom. And I had to crawl back. And I could barely find that crazy bed. And I got up on that bed. I said, "Lord, if You'll get me off this ride, I will never criticize or have a critical thought or spirit concerning my wife's vertigo." And God is my witness, from the time it started to it ended, it was 45 minutes. And that's all I needed to understand. Now, when she says I'm getting vertigo, I said, "Do you need a bucket?" God allows us to experience the tribulation that we can one day comfort others. I had a man call me a few days ago. He's a well-respected man in this community. If I said his name, you would know him. He has a huge title and is well-known. And he called weeping and crying. I said, "Last time I spoke with you, Doc, you were having some marital issues. How are things going?" He said, "My wife left me. She took the children. He said, I've lost my practice. I have no way of making money. I'm trying to rebuild a new one, but it's taking time. And I went before the judge the other day, and he said, you're $35,000 behind on child support. And he threw me in jail for 70 days. This man is a devout Christian. He said, I don't know why the Lord has allowed this to happen, but I know this, that one day I'm going to be able to help someone else with this same mess. That's something. We just don't know why God's allowing us to go through these things. But He knows. And I want to tell you again that He's the God of all comfort. First five words in verse 18 says, but as God is true. Amen. He said He's our comfort. He said He's our peace. He said He's our support. He said it, and I believe it. We saw this morning, just in a small passage, how God said something would happen, and multiple times those prophecies were fulfilled. Why? Because God is true. I like it. Let's read this to you in Isaiah 41. And I understand the context of this, but I believe it applies to each Christian. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's God. God is true. He delivers on the comfort. He sends us the peace that passeth all understanding. As I look around this room, God has given us one to another to help each other. That's what church family is for. That's what it is about. It means that when we could cut, we hug. When we could stab, we give a godly kiss on the cheek. We maneuver in ways to be a blessing, to preserve the saint, not destroy the saint. Ladies and gentlemen, God is true, and we must live. He must live through us, which means, as we go back to the earlier scripture that I read earlier, in essence, we're saying this: God should be seen in our lives. And that's where we are. God of comfort, God of peace, a God of truth. Am I right? And as read earlier, He should be seen in us. That's just groovy, man. I like it. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask they would to play a couple verses of invitation. There's already been a lot of activity on the altar tonight. Maybe you missed out. Maybe haven't laid that thing down which has got you so troubled. I want to give you an opportunity tonight to do that very thing. Then you may be here and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't know this Comforter. that I've been telling you about. You don't know this God that has given us the peace that passeth all understanding. You don't have a personal relationship with the God that is true. Well, I want to say to you that Jesus loves you. He's true blue. He descended from on high, was born in a barn because he loved you. He was raised up to do one thing, become a supreme sacrifice for your sins and my sins. Jesus died on the cross, but when they nailed him to the cross, they were nailing our sins to the cross. Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. As the song says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he hung silently on the cross until that time came where he said, "It is finished." And it was. Provision had been made. The blood of the perfect lamb had been spilt. And he allowed his perfect blood to be spilt for you and me. If you don't know Jesus, this invitation is also open to you. We'll take the Word of God and show you how you can know. How you can know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. As we sing, Christian, would you let the Holy Spirit do something in your life tonight? Lost person, won't you just let go? Kick the devil in the head tonight. Don't let him get victory in your life. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Let's make the devil mad. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing, brother.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Have thine own way.
Thou art the power.